This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This whole podcast has gone to ruins. We recorded about 48 minutes of stellar stuff, and then Miel took a flamethrower to it.
This is going to be positively deranged. I'm hitting the theme song. Punch it!
It's time for Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Actually, wait, you say it. You say it. You start the episode. Yeah, you start the episode. Welcome to Punch of the Jam. You say it.
No, then it's really going to seem like I'm trying to take over the podcast.
Temporary co-host, I command you. Do it.
Okay. Hi, welcome to the new name of the podcast is Chris Fleming, King of Music, a.k.a. Chris Fleming, King of Prussia. My my guest co-host is, of course, Miel Wade Bredo, and she comes from Orcas Island, which is a small, freaky place right off the coast of Seattle. And it's where
Seattle, Chris.
It is right where they filmed Liam Neeson's, the documentary that Liam Neeson made where he captured Jodie Foster and her sister. And give it up for my lovely co-host, Miel, yeah, please. Thank you so much, Miel.
You nailed that. Great job, Chris. That was amazing.
On the island, they say yabo to welcome. So please, please join me, community, in saying yabo, yabo.
I'm very excited for today's episode because Patreon chose it. Part of having the guest co-host is I don't need to care about what song the guest wants to do. I'm just going to ask Patreon what they want to do. I love my patrons. And they
are you in a beach chair right now?
Yeah.
Are you in a beach chair wearing sunglasses? You sound pretty...
Hey, we all cope in different ways.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm very excited that they chose this song, which you didn't know until we taped that other episode, and then that disappeared. So can I play it again and pretend you don't know it, okay? Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chris, you know what this is?
God, I think I do.
We're going down, in a dirty around. And sugar, we're going down swinging.
Yaddy, 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 yaddy.
I'm so excited. I don't think we've done nearly enough pop punk emo songs on this podcast for my liking, as I am historically famously reformed in that same vein. Did I have black hair? Did I shave my head? Yes. Did I love Good Charlotte? Yes. Did I think Fall Out Boy were posers? Yes. But that doesn't mean I don't love this goddamn song.
So you punished a lot of shower curtains with that dyed black hair.
That's... so
that is so
accurate.
That is so typical you.
That is so
that is so
correct.
Typical you.
I need to ask again, pretend I don't know already. You didn't have an emo phase at all.
No, I had a girlfriend. My first girlfriend was an absolute emo, and she, the kind that actually like made her own necklaces. Is that an emo thing? I guess I'm just basing all of that,
like macaroni.
No, it was actually, it was like, it was a bunch of animals. I don't want to say like animal crackers, but...
I don't think that's an emo thing, Chris. I think that's like a Shirley Temple thing.
It's more of a killer.
It's like a steampunk Shirley Temple. That's what you're describing.
Anyway, but yeah, she was very into emo. And I'm a little too cotton candy on the trampoline for the emo movement. You know, I'm out in the orchard. You know, I got marmalade in my pockets. But she took me to our first date was it was a Taking Back Sunday concert. And they just played Cute Without the E, I think, on loop for maybe an hour and a half. And she was like, I'll be right back. And she crowdsourced for the entirety of the concert while I just kind of did a little rotation. Like I kind of stood up and just kind of spun and I pirouetted on the balcony.
That's amazing. I love to hear it because I absolutely would have done what she did. That's a fucking S tier move for an emo girlfriend.
It's powerful to crowd surf and then just like leave your date in the dust and like wave on the rotation back.
When Something Corporate sang about a pop punk princess, that's who they were singing about.
Oh, I do like Something Corporate.
I mean, do is to infer that as a 30-year-old woman, I still subscribe to that music. And to be fair, some of it I do. In fact, right now I'm working on the Patreon mixtape for this month, which is going to be largely music of this vein. But it's kind of selective what songs for me kind of hold up still. I mean, obviously I have nostalgia for all of them, but Sugar, We're Going Down, I legitimately think is a great pop song.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you just change the production a little bit, this is a tight little tune. I have a couple things to tell you about it. Are you ready?
It's a nice little caboose.
Mm-hmm. So it's Sugar, We're Going Down, Going Down, Down in a Lily Round by Fall Out Boy. It came out in 2005.
Well, the best year of my life.
It has been speculated that this may be the most heard or listened to emo song ever.
The most heard. I like that. It sounds kind of ancient.
The song heard around the world.
Yeah.
As it did peak on the Hot 100, that's all genres of music. Ooh, it got up to number 8, which is absolutely batshit crazy to me that a song of this style could become so universally adored, but it is true. And I also want to tell you at this point that I saw this TikTok. People my age, we were all into this music, and then we grew up and now we have jobs, including being a 5th grade teacher. So this woman on TikTok turned this song into an educational song for her 5th grade class. Listen.
Oh, brava.
No, you don't have to ask us twice. We'll check our posture is nice. We'll look at you into your eyes. And we'll speak loud and clear with pride. Smile and nod to show you that we are listening.
Wait, what? What is that? What are they being taught?
We'll smile and nod to show you that we are listening.
Oh, it sounds like almost like a religious thing. Are we sure this is good that they're being taught to smile and nod?
Yeah, and sit up straight and listen to each other. Is that a religious thing?
It sounds like, I don't know, there's something. I thought it was botched Latin that they were singing it at one point. It didn't sound like a wholesome environment, but maybe that was just through the Skype. Oh, my unpunchable jam for this week. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
it's the tell what it is.
Yeah, it's the Skype ring by Skype. ding ding ding, but ding ding ding. Forged in hell by the fires of Beelzebub, the Skype ring is made to dehumanize and fill you with a sense of looming doom and hopelessness. Ding ding ding, okay, sorry, Mel. Keep going.
When I was doing the notes for this song, I found out that this was produced by a guy named Neil Avron, and I obviously, of course, as I'm wont to do, day 41 of self-isolation, had to go down his Wikipedia, and I was shocked to find out he did so many.
Like what?
He did Everclears, so much for the Afterglow. He did Newfound Glory. He did Yellow Card, Weezer, Linkin Park, The Used, Switchfoot. Recently, he did Blurry Face with 21 Pilots. You know that song? Hi, my name is Blurry Face, and my face is blurry. I don't know that song. And then he also did all of the fucking songs from Waitress with Sarah Bareilles. Is that how you say her name? Bareilles? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? This guy, Neil, I mean, surprised we don't know that name. Seems like he's a pretty legitimate producer.
I've heard that the pronunciation of Sarah Bareilles' last name changes based on your zodiac sign. I think it's like a moon thing. I think that whatever you do is the right thing.
I have one other note for you. Are you ready?
Oh, like, is this going to hurt me?
It could. It's from the Patreon.
Again, I want access to the Patreon. I think is, I don't see why you're holding that. You dangle this carrot. Hey, Chris, you're not going to, you call me at 3 a.m. You're not going to believe what they're saying about you on the Patreon.
You can have the password for
hey,
one
Hey, Chris,
week.
You want to know what Juliana Paul is saying? Our patron Julie A is saying about you on the Patreon. You're just a co-host. I'm like, who is this?
I'm gonna tell you right now. Adrian Zim said, I don't know if you've heard the Kung Fu Fighting Sugar We're Going Down mashup, but I highly suggest it. So I looked it up and I'm dying to play it.
I wanna
for
hear
you.
It.
I want to go walk down the aisle to that. There's something about that that's very special.
I want to get divorced to that. I want to swing dance. I want to swing dance with my vet and my dad's friends. I re-tore my lateral meniscus dancing to that.
Wait, can you actually, first off, I need to say that was made by Thingy Bob Inc. on YouTube. Second of all, can you please tell everyone at home how you tore your meniscus? I would love to hear that story again.
Irish step dancing in my bedroom in 2003, folks.
Did you ever see the flash video that someone made to this song? It's like the worst animation you've ever seen of like the misheard lyrics, and they're very offensive. Like, we're going downtown in a Lululemon and like drop a whore and cock and there's something about the dick in there too. I just remember the illustrations were very MS Paint.
You're being so filthy right now.
I'm pressing play. Are you ready to get into the song?
Yes. I just opened and closed a tattoo parlor in that. That was about the rise and fall of a tattoo parlor, I think. That's how I interpret that.
I just feel like the song just starts and suddenly I'm on the freeway in an express lane going 100 miles an hour on cruise control. I don't know what happened. My butt, it's like an ejector seat, but I didn't even realize the car had one until I was already in the air. That's how I feel.
You're in reverse in the express lane.
I don't mind it, to be fair. I'm saying I like that feeling. It's a good fucking feel. I feel great. I feel like I did drugs I don't even know about yet.
And you got like a thumbs up out the sunroof.
And then also for him to just come in. Am I more than you bargain for ya? I love a song that starts with a question and then they just don't ever come back to it. I mean, he does. The second verse starts the same way, but like... Were we supposed to answer?
I think he...
Like, if you play this at emo
doesn't
night?
Doesn't he answer it? Doesn't he say...
Yeah.
No, he says yet.
Oh, okay.
You think he goes, am I more than you bargained for?
Yeah. That would be the Jock Jams version of it.
I also love the drums. I don't know. It's going to be hard for me not to just want to listen to this song because it's...
Those aren't drums. Those are split level homes coming down.
I'm hitting the next clip.
Okay. I've been dying to tell you anything you already hear, because that's just who I am this week. It's something like, it feels like he's nose to nose with me. Like, I don't feel like I'm listening to a song. I feel like he's right.
He's screaming into your open mouth.
Yeah. There's like no reverb, maybe. It's just really kind of, it's a lot.
It's also like the way he's singing is, I mean, obviously like, deliberately trying not to pronounce anything. It's so hard to understand him, but there's also such an angst that I can't tell if it's kind of horny or kind of angry or just super excited. You know, like when you see a dog in public that's maybe kind of big and it's like jumping around and the owner's like, it's friendly. And you can't tell if they're saying that because the dog is friendly and just has like a kind of intense reaction.
They're never,
or if it's actually a
friendly.
Mean dog.
Yeah.
No, they're never friendly. No. So that's how I feel about Patrick Stump yelling in my open mouth.
Oh yeah. That's it. Don't worry. She's friendly as she's frothing and afraid of water. Yeah.
I've been dying to tell you anything you want to hear. Also, I feel like it's worth noting that Pete Wentz, maybe you've heard of him.
Did you pronounce that Pete?
I sure did.
Pete. Oh, yeah. Pete Wentz. Yep.
I knew that would pick up on my mic at home. Listeners would hear it. I wasn't sure if you would. So I was just going to try to cruise right past it going reverse in that express lane that is not working out for me, unfortunately.
Yeah. In the Lord of the Rings universe quiz, I got Pete Wentz.
He was a writer of Rohan. He's not named, but you look at him and you just know.
Yeah.
He was the bassist, but he wrote the lyrics, which I find very, I don't know, curious. It's just adding to the Pete Wentz lore that I feel like, even though I wasn't a Fall Out Boy fan, I was so intensely aware of.
Yeah, he's cute. I'm looking at him right now.
He said, am I more than you bargained for yet? I've been dying to tell you anything you want to hear, because that's just who I am this week. Okay. Next clip. Lie in the grass.
I did, well, next to the mausoleum, that is very apropos for me and my family, because with the same woman who was crowd surfing, I did go on a date once into a graveyard with this woman, but it was adjacent to a tennis practice. And so there was, it never quite felt right, Mia.
It immediately cancels out the cool credibility you would have gotten on LiveJournal from those graveyard pics.
Yeah. And I kind of have too much Cocker Spaniel blood in me to have ever really pulled off the emo thing, you know?
I do feel like in a movie, you would be the first person to be haunted, so I get why you might want to avoid mausoleums.
How dare you?
But now we have to acknowledge the most haunted iconic line.
Haunted by the phantasm that you told me about in your okay, house.
So this is making the re-record. Are you going to explain what you're talking about?
So Miel one day told me that there was a haunting in her house, and I was like, oh, like a ghost? And she said, no, it's a phantasm. And I was like, oh, let me look that up. No, it's probably not Googleable.
And when you know, you know. I don't have to say don't fact check me, because you literally cannot fact check me. I have to say the most iconic line in the song. We just heard it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just a notch in your bedpost, but you're just a line in a song.
So this is written from the perspective of an IKEA bedpost. This is just, he's just oak in this, right?
Yeah, this is written from the perspective of an oak veneer. Yeah, you got it.
Okay, I see. And you're just a line in a song. Well, more like kind of less.
You're just the whole song.
It's the entire song.
You're just the entire song.
Yeah.
Actually, it's just hitting me right now that line isn't nearly as hard hitting as I always felt it was, because it sounded so badass. But really what he's saying is, oh, yeah, well, to you, I'm just some guy you had sex with. But to me, I'm writing a whole song about how I miss you.
Yeah. I definitely think he comes out not on top in that. Yeah. Yeah.
But it still sounds so cool as your MySpace about me section. I miss it. I have to give a disclaimer. The next two clips, people are going to absolutely careen their blimps straight into the Marianas Trench. They're going to be so mad at me. I cut them right in the middle because I didn't know where else to cut it. I thought if I listened to too much at a time, it would be too confusing to go back. So
people are going
to
shallow dive into the Fiji Basin when they hear this. I already heard it. And my gallbladder swapped with something else.
Oh my God. Okay, so wait, Chris, you've heard this already, and I bet you already don't remember what he said, and you can't. If you can make out what he said, I'm gonna play it for you. If you can make out what he said, I'll Venmo you something. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you're Googling it. I can hear you clicking.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
That is my secretary doing my tax stuff. Why did I search Fall Out Boy members in a panic when I was talking to you? No.
What did he say?
Okay. Drop a heart.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Break a name.
Yes, correct.
We're sleeping in, but we're sleeping in for the wrong team. And here was my mnemonic for that. We're sleeping because... Sleeping in, I was like, what does it mean to be sleeping in and for the wrong team? And I was thinking...
He says sleeping for the wrong team, but otherwise you got it exactly right.
So is that like a hibernation reference? Like, is it like a bear accidentally starts snoozing in March, which is like the beaver's time to be doing the hiber?
According to Genius, sleeping for the wrong team alludes to sexual experimentation, but I'm not so sure that's true.
Wouldn't that be cute if it was two bears... AIMing each other, and they say, want a hiber? God damn it. You're making me do word plays.
I didn't say anything.
No.
You cannot blame that on me.
That was your phantasm. I've never made a word play. I feel sick. Oh, my God.
I want to comment on the guitars really quick. How they really like are doing, I think the guitars and the drum are single-handedly making this song feel like it has 400 different sections. Like, I feel like when I put the song on, I'm like Bilbo Baggins being like, I'm going on an adventure. Like,
it's a long form improv.
Exactly.
It's kind of like if a crazy person made you trail mix. So it's like, oh.
It's like sliced up chunks of string cheese.
Oh, is this a slider?
It's a tiny slider.
Oh,
it's cherry tomatoes.
Oh, is this a small drawing of me?
Jawbreakers.
Is this a drawing of me before I knew the person who gave this trail mix to me?
Okay, I'm hitting the chorus or I'm going to lose my mind.
Is this a frozen entree?
No, Chris.
Is this a large frozen entree? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were having some fun for once in our goddamn lives. I thought we were getting off the Iditarod to go down the log flume. I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm sorry. Miel, please come back. Please come back. She's just throwing Majua dates around the house. She's just making it rain with nutritional yeast.
The problem is, Chris, I can't. you can't insert this much chaos because I am so barely hanging on to my sanity right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I've been alone for 41 days. I have not touched another human being.
That's not true. You just did a Vine meetup last night because you said for the meet and greet that you were getting, the money was good. You said you were getting $250. You said you were, and you couldn't break it. I was like, is Vine even, who, what? You're like, yeah, it's really fat money. It's meet and greet style, in and out. Like, I think this whole thing's
having you on the podcast when we're doing Fallout Boy is like doing cocaine. And then right as it hits, being like, hey, we should try meth.
That's just teens ransacking a church. That's all that is.
Teens for Jeb, maybe.
What? For Jeb Bush?
Yeah.
What?
Jeb Bush's street team, maybe.
You leave Jeb Bush out of this conversation. You think of, you got Jeb on the mind. It's like a super milk toast interest.
Right.
Oh my
god. That's exactly how I feel. If you're talking about throwing hands to like sugar, we're going down. That's what that is. It's teens for Jeb.
Yeah.
Okay. So you pointed out the first time we were taping this, we need to revisit because it did blow my mind a bit. We're going down, down in an earlier round is a wrestling reference.
I thought it was a boxing reference.
That is what you said. I don't really know the difference. I'm sorry.
No, no. I mean, do I look like I know the difference? I
don't know a fucking thing about either of them, so I just get them confused in my head.
I don't know anything about either, but you knew something that I had no. You knew that sugar was the name of a. I thought that it was just a dental hygienist sexually harassing somebody. But you.
No, it's Sugar Ray Leonard, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you.
We really 1-2 comboed realizing this is actually a song about boxing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, it turns out, not the same as wrestling.
But, like, with our knowledge, if we put our heads together, we could actually go out in this world at daytime
and get Jeb Bush elected. What were you going to say?
Get Jeb Bush back in the hot seat where he belongs.
Please clap. I want to listen to the lyrics one more time because I think the Flash video had it right. I think it's fully downtown in a Luli LaRound. You cannot tell me otherwise. Mm-hmm. That's downtown in a Luli LaRound, baby. That's what that is.
Yeah, a Luli LaRound is actually, it was a big, it was Lily Pulitzer made it. It's a 360 kind of bubble. It's like kind of a bubble dress. And it was debuted on Mother's Day in 2005. And so going downtown in a Luli LaRound.
I'm so sorry to fact check you on air, but unfortunately that was not Lily Pulitzer. It was Luli.
I'm so sorry. Luli.
Luli
Pulitzer. So Luli Pulitzer was a criminally insane woman who would break into people's showers. I'm so sorry. That's totally different.
I want to talk about, too, the I'll be your number one with a bullet, because I was surprised to find out today that's potentially a High Fidelity reference that I don't remember. But I think that's a reference to like the best song on the mixtape or something. To be fair, I don't really remember that movie. Something like that.
Yeah.
The last line of the chorus, a loaded God complex, cock it and pull it. That was also, I feel like, everyone's favorite line from the song because they thought it was like so clever. Apparently Taylor Swift even loves that line.
That sounds like one of, because you remember the first song that Taylor Swift made, The Love Story, where she like uses a bunch of mixed metaphors. She like references like Scarlet Letter and like Of Mice and Men, like a bunch of high school reading things, but without ever like clearly not having read it. And God complex sounds really good in a gun. Oh my god, that's a lot.
To be fair, I don't know what it means. I kind of wish it was like maybe a little bit, like if it was going to be inaccessible, maybe a little more inaccessible, like a deus ex machina, cock it and pull it,
moonchips by proxy.
Other moonchips concepts you're just becoming aware of in high school.
Yeah. Right.
But I will say, even as a 31 and a half, wait, no, that's not how old I am, 30 and a half year old woman, it still does do a little something for me. It does.
Yeah. And as a 53 year old woman, it does a little something for me as well.
Okay, now you have to not be mad at me for cutting you off twice in a row because I clipped all of chorus one going into verse two.
Did I ever sound mad at you? Why would you think I was mad at you?
I don't know if it's, it must be the Skype, but like suddenly I heard your voice split into two separate tones, actually three, and you were singing a tritone at me for the last like 10 things you've said.
Do you understand how hard that is and how much training I've gone through for circular breathing to be able to do that?
The guitar is different here. This part rules so hard.
Is this more than you bargained for yet? You know what I think is perfect about that? It's perfect for a coward, you know, because like as a coward, like I can only handle like a little bit of those intense guitars and it's like a full immersive thing. And then it's like, Okay, they went away.
Just the drum and that like chuggy ass guy just hitting, I don't know, they're playing badminton, I think. Is this more than you bargained for yet?
Yeah, honestly, it is. It's way, no, it's like, that is the theme. This is way more than I signed up for.
With that in mind, let's go to a quick break.
And we're back.
What'd you do on your break, Mia?
I don't know if you can hear it, but I went to the fridge and I got a piece of vegan cheese and I'm eating it in tiny pieces, pretending I'm a little mouse.
Mm.
Okay, you ready to get into verse two?
Yes. Oh, don't mind me, I'm watching YouTube from the closet,
wishing to be the friction in your cheese. Did you hear that piano?
Yeah, I did.
You know what he said?
Yeah. He's in the closet wishing that he could be the friction in your jeans.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty complex.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of friction.
Honestly, I think that's like a role playing on a level I've never fathomed, frankly. It's like, okay, I'm going to be your student. And then you are not my professor. You're going to be the friction in the Yeah, you're just making noise. You're just kind of getting slowly warmer the whole time. What does it mean?
Yeah, depending on your movement. It only happens every once in a while. Like if you're horseback riding, it's a lot, but most of the time it's kind of just, it's manageable.
Well, it's, no, I mean, he's watching them
dry hump.
Dry hump. Yeah, because if you're wearing jeans.
It's denim to denim. Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
I just need to know really quick, how old were they when they wrote this?
Are you saying that there's an age limit on dry humping? Okay.
I mean, yeah. Do you not feel that way?
Well, I think the bigger issue here is.
Yeah, he was 26 or around 26 when he wrote this. So, like, I just feel like that's I think he's really
writing,
old.
He's probably writing to the teen audience.
Right, yeah, right. Of course. I just, you know, like, poor Patrick has to be the one to go up there and sing.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
As if he's a child. It sounds like me when I was, like, homeschooled pretending I knew what stuff was when I definitely didn't. It's like, oh, yeah, no, I know all about what you and your new guy do together, like dry hump.
Well, and what's weird about this, like in the killer song, like Mr. Brightside, he's like imagining it, right? And I love how he keeps being like, by the way, this is just in my head, but this, he's like, he's actually placed himself in the closet, squarely in the closet. Which is objectively wrong.
Well, and I think there was some controversy too a few years ago, if I recall correctly, that like in the liner booklet, you know what I mean, like the liner notes on the album booklet that came with it, the lyrics said it was in his jeans and people were devastated or freaking out or whatever the response was, because in the closet and then his jeans, I think they thought it was like some coded queer messaging or something.
Oh, I like that. Yeah,
but I think he's just saying he wants to be a voyeur. That's what I'm getting. He's like, hey, you guys looking for a third, non-involved third?
I heard Pete's original lyric was that he wanted to be the condensation on the window. He's just an elements freak.
Really quick, let's take that back. Do you think friction is an element?
He wanted to be the torque on the door closing. I don't know what anything is anymore, okay?
This is what happens.
What do you call friction? It's like a physics thing? What is friction? Did I ever show you the Google that I Googled one night late? I just said, where go?
That's where I have been mentally for like literally 3 weeks now. I Googled mom the other day. Isn't it messed up how I'm just dying to be
him? isn't it just, what, isn't it messed up how I'm
isn't it messed up how I'm just dying to be him?
No, it's messed up that you're in the closet, you breaker and enterer. That's what's messed up.
Well, I mean, again, we could keep reading into the like coded queer message thing, which also could potentially be a referencing the sleeping for the wrong team line. I don't know. However,
Oh my God, like sleeping with someone for the wrong team. Oh my God.
Like the same gender or something. I don't know. However,
I like that a lot.
However, I just want to comment on how much I love that this song has so many questions in it that seem sincere. Am I more than you bargained for yet? Is this more than you bargained for yet? Isn't it messed up how I'm just dying to be him? This is like me in therapy after I like talk for too long and then I go, do you know what I mean?
Or like the kid at the sleepover, everyone's like asleep. Hey, do you think white chocolate is tip? God, no, Pete. Pete?
Like, that person who doesn't know how to read it when you've kind of all been drifting off for like 5 minutes and they keep trying to get the conversation going again. They're like, do you guys think? And you're like, stop. Any sentence that starts that way, it's too late, Jared.
Do you think there's a Nessie in every body of water? No. No, Mike.
No, but isn't it messed up? I'm just not in your bed post, but so does a lot in a song.
What I was, when he was framing that question, isn't it messed up how I'm just dying to be like, it, anyone who poses a question like, isn't it messed up about themselves, like, it's always going to be an undersell. Like, messed up is a kind of a gross. It's like, you know when someone says, I'm back, and it's anyone who says, I'm back, it's never the person, you never want them to be back, the kind of person
I'm
that's
back.
It's always kind of like a, not a threat, but like a.
Well, it's also, it would be thrown out of court of law. You can't lead a question like this. Isn't it?
Isn't it messed up?
Isn't it messed up?
I'm just, yeah, it is. It's absolutely messed up.
Yeah, but maybe it's not that messed up because at the end of the day, I'm just a notch in your bedpost, but you're just a line in a song. In a song. This is where he goes. Patrick's like, hey, I want everyone to know I can actually sing, though. He did a little run here, too. Oh, this is the best part. Okay, I did not clip this into pieces because I wanted you to hear it all as a unit, as God intended. Are you ready? Do you have your neck properly secured?
Yep.
If you have a really thick turtleneck, I would suggest putting it on now to stabilize your spine. Here we go. Break a name. We're sleeping and sleeping for the wrong team. We're going down, down, and early around. And sugar, we're going down, swinging. I'll be your number one with the bullet. A loaded gun, complex, cocking bullet. I'm in pain. I'm in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's demasiado right there. That's too much.
It's too much. Uh-oh. I hurt your cotton candy on the trampoline sensibilities.
You want me to be honest and fully transparent with you?
Yeah.
I took my earbuds out for that one.
No, you didn't.
But they were blazing so loud that I could still hear them from across the room.
I like it when it hurts. At least when it's a song like this.
No, it's great. I think it's great. I have... Nothing. I have nothing but positive thoughts about this.
Really? Even as a non-emo guy, you like this?
Again, I'm not going to seek it out, but I'm going to turn it down if it comes on the radio, like I said, because I don't want a guidance counselor to apparate and get perpendicular to the floor and saying, "You okay, bud? What's going on, bud? You okay, buddy?" You know, it sounds like something's up, but like, yeah, I'll listen to it. Absolutely.
I really like how the first half of the chorus, it's the same phrase just repeated, but the instrumentation underneath it is totally different between the first half. So, like, did you notice that? How, like, the guitars and drum pattern changed completely?
Wait, and that second chorus, there was, like, a lot more. That's why I had to take the buds out. There was definitely, like, many more guys involved in that. And guys and gals.
Ga-na-na-na. They change it up so that, it's Bilbo Baggins. I'm going on an adventure! Now we're with those giant trolls who turned to stone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a pit bull on a pogo stick.
Mr. Worldwide?
No. I mean the breed. The dog breed.
I only know Mr. Worldwide, sadly, by that name.
It's all right.
If we're not talking Mr. Worldwide, I don't want to talk.
I get it.
Oh,
Completely nonverbal. Yeah.
He's going so far out of his way to make sure we cannot understand him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's hard. I don't know how he's saying it with so little diction.
You know what he sounds like? He sounds like Jack Nicholson in The Maze and The Shining before, like when he Daddy! Daddy!
He sounds like, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like me screaming about something when I'm really angry but too tired to formulate words. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. it's really
bad.
This
is like a really scary version of like David after dentist. Imagine like someone's coming out of anesthesia.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You're splitting your stitches, bud. You can't tell me that's not downtown in a Lululemon.
And now a quick word from Rob Moose.
I feel so bad for making him do this song.
Now, short of a home invasion by Hoobastank, I can't think of a more jarring start to my or my family's day than the use of the use of the as you can imagine, I haven't slept a wink since I heard what happened at measure 91 of Sugar, We're Going Down Swinging. They go from adagio to a mezzo adagio. In any other circumstance, it'd be like trying to wakeboard in a pool, but it works.
I don't know.
But what,
I don't know.
What absolutely knocked me on my moose gooch was this. The four on the floor isn't a four on the floor at all. It's a four on the porch. These godless emo pagans misused a decrescendo on the federal level, and it's given me and my bride synesthesia. We can now taste numbers and hear colors, which is a huge setback, because I have to deliver a viola to Beck tonight.
Ow! I already took the break. I can't calm down.
That wasn't
Why
me.
Did you do
That wasn't me. That was Rob Moose talking.
I'm having a vasovagal response.
We're about to get vasovagal. We're about to get vasovagal.
Okay, let's get to our pseudo bridge and then we can finally hear what Rob actually had to say.
Sugar, we're going down swinging. I'll be your number one with the bullet. A lyric got your flex, cock it and pull it. We're going down, down.
Can you understand that counter melody?
Yeah, I love that, actually. That stuff I find pretty sexy, honestly.
The counter melody thing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When he's like taking the escalator underneath himself.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like an M.C. Escher drawing.
Yeah, I love it.
I guess he's saying, take aim at myself. Take back what you said. Take aim at my... Okay, I gotta hear that again. That was three melodies at the same time with different rhythms.
You know what? This kind of just screams to me is like, I'm thinking like there's like something really benign about their anger, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It's teens for Jeb. It's teens for Jeb.
That's right. It's like it's almost like they paved the way for Vice News. Like people who look like they can skateboard but can't skateboard.
I think that's probably why it was able to hit number 8 on the top 100. Yeah. It's like, it's really accessible. It feels angry, but we're right. Not really. I mean, it's like when someone has some like strong political statement, like we are the world. And it's like, yes, we are. But like, we're not actually saying anything.
We're in this together.
I want to listen to that critically again, because I didn't pick that up until that final listen, that I can hear the main melody down, down in a newly around, and then also the take back what you said, take him at myself. But then they also have downtown in a newly around, downtown. Listen, you can hear all three.
Yeah. Going downtown in a newly around, sugar will go and dance
downtown in a newly around. You hear that?
Yeah, I mean, they're loading up at the buffet is what they're doing. Cause
that's really interesting.
It's last call.
And are you ready to hit the last clip?
I guess.
Dada, we're going dada.
backs, cock it and pull it.
We did it. We got through the song. We did it, Chris. Hey, Chris, we did it. Hey, Chris, guess what? We did it.
Hey, I'm Jeb. Hey, I'm Jeb. Hey, I'm Jeb. Let's get Jeb.
You remember in the... Wait, you didn't see it. I'm going to pretend you did. You remember in the Flash video, that part was a baby going, da-da. Da-da.
I mean, it does sound... I thought maybe he was saying dentist. But like, it was very lazy, whatever he was saying. I think that was a different vocal also than the first chorus, right? And he's just... He's getting sloppier.
Patrick, I think Patrick, honestly, I mean, this style is not for everybody, but within this style, I think he killed this performance. This sounds great to me.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, committing that hard, you can only get a couple takes like that before your voice is like, I'm actually going on early retirement. Thank you.
It's probably those mutton chops, those War General mutton chops underneath that Gwen Stefani cap he's got on.
Okay, finally, yes, we have been driven into madness. Thank you, self-isolation. Thank you, technical difficulties. Thank you, Fallout Boy. Are you ready?
Thank you, Fallout Boy. Thank thank you, technical difficulties. Thank you, Mike. Mike's gonna pool hop for weeks to this.
Are you ready, finally, for the nice balm, the tiger balm on our chapped hands that is Rob Moose?
I've been pondering a lot of different approaches for this week's song. My first thought was to discuss how, from Britney Spears to Rob Thomas to Meatloaf, I've stayed positive each week, resisting the temptation to trash and instead looking for kernels of musical intrigue to stay afloat. Until now. On day 31 of my quarantine, trying to get through this damn Fallout Boy song by turning down the volume a little more every 10 seconds, I've finally reached the limit of my own tolerance. I've also considered making an extended analysis of the song to demonstrate how it's the perfect love child of U2's Where the Streets Have No Name, Foo Fighters' Everlong, and some song by an English band from the late 80s, because I don't know how else to explain this pre-chorus. Each of these approaches seem beneath us, so I'm going to press on. With a little help from Led Zeppelin, we begin with the drum intro, and unlike our friends Savage Garden, newly venerated for their clever rhythmic manipulations last week, the extent of the surprise factor here in this coked-up John Bonham beat is the fact that it's mercifully interrupted on the fourth beat of bar one by the entrance of the rest of the band. But let's not celebrate yet. They've come with their B-game, a chord progression so banal that it doesn't even bother to discover a fourth chord, instead retreating from B minor back to G, a sign of things to come. I mean, seriously, there's so many other chords they could have put in that four slot, like you could step down to A, which would be super normal and poppy. You could go down to F sharp minor, or even E minor, which is just the relative minor of that four chord. It wouldn't have any impact on your melody, and you could ditch it in the first verse. But hey, I'm not against repetition. In fact, my favorite feature of this intro is the melody in the electric guitar, which repeats its six notes, built out of only three distinct pitches, three times before evasively resolving on a major seventh. It's pure pop candy, and they bring it back in a sort of hidden but oh-so-satisfying way later on in the song. There's a bit of a cat and mouse happening throughout this song, and it's often led by our friend the drummer. In verse one, he's playing these kind of flaccid quarter note hits on the hi-hat and kick drum, until halfway through when he switches back to his initial beat, only to be imitated by one of the electric guitarists, no doubt done fixing his hair from the intro and ready to play again. This is, by the way, the moment that really reminds me of Everlong. I'm not sure if anyone saw the pre-chorus coming the first time they heard this track. It's the sort of move that a band would normally reserve for a bridge, which we'd only hear once. But because it's Fallout Boy and feelings are flowing freely, we're treated to this section twice. As usual, the drummer leads the charge, and he's taken a very soft approach, using rim clicks. We've got prominent background vocals, the lead singer is in a lower range. It's a confusing time. But the section features the most harmonically adventurous moment of the whole song, which is the use of a C in the bass. It coincides with the highest note in the vocal melody and gives us a brief glimpse of the ultra-theatrical Lydian mode, which plays so effectively on our teen heartstrings. All right, we got to wrap this up, but remember that thing I mentioned earlier? After the second chorus, there's a vocal breakdown over a heavily distorted chord. Midway through the section, two vocalists come in either channel. The one on the left side is echoing our melody from the intro that was played in the electric guitar. It's an arrangement deep cut, and it in no way excuses the band's behavior on the rest of the track, but it is oh so satisfying for someone like me to hear them bring back their best material at the end of the song.
Rob! Did you know that the guitar melody was, they were doing it with the bridge and the voice? Ha! He got me again, Rob!
I love how that was the most enraged I've ever heard, Rob. I thought it was going to get a little darker than that.
I knew we were going to break him with Fallout Boy. Patreon, you're to blame for this!
As a coping device, I set a series of fires in several Baskin-Robbins, with no survivors. Now back to the pre-chorus.
I don't disagree with anything he said.
It sounds really good on piano when he was doing. I loved that.
Maybe that's the punch up. Hey, maybe that's the punch up.
Yeah,
maybe it's a beautiful piano version.
Yeah, like a mall piano. I think I also just, yeah, I'm just like kind of not into like pissed off guitars, but that's just me. And that's me being a simpleton.
No, I don't know that. I wouldn't say there's any judgment on it. I think it's just definitely not for everybody. I mean, I loved this type of music growing up, so I have a soft spot for it. I think that if it sounds like trash to you, that's also a valid opinion.
No, Miel, did I say that I believe it's trash? No, that Rob said that he became radicalized, listen to it, but I personally am fine. I'm lukewarm to it.
I don't know. I think were you an angry teenager at all?
No, see, that's the thing. I was not at all.
So that's why it probably didn't speak to you.
That's the case with a lot of these things, right? I was not angry.
Okay, so then in terms of punching it up, I don't know. Hearing Rob play that on piano, I was like, oh, wait a second. Although I did do that with the last emo song I did with Taking Back Sunday. I also made a beautiful version. Is it too hack to do that again?
Can't we just have that haunting chorus of children do something? That fifth grade class? Can't we just employ them?
Let's put in the punch up here and see what we did.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now for world premiere feature.
Sugar, we're going down, but oh my god. I wanted to make a beautiful piano version with more interesting harmonics, so I can't believe this happened. I commissioned Marie. Marie from YouTube, extraordinary singer-songwriter. I can't believe she agreed to do this. Marie! Yes, she's my brother's girlfriend. Yes, she's half of the band Parlo. Yes, she has new music coming out soon, so keep up with her if you want to hear it. M-R-E-E. You're going to want to after you hear this.
Be your number one with the bullet.
Wow.
Hi. Hi, my name's Paul Hotshot. I work over at Hotshot Record. I couldn't help but overhear you two youngins releasing that punch-up for the Unquenchable James podcast. I'd like to sign you both to the Big Shot menu, and we're going to have you guys singing all the different songs for all the Baskin-Robbins that Rob Moose destroyed in his series of fires.
Second time you tried to call it Baskin-Robbins!
Yeah, you've given me Werner's aphasia throughout this.
Okay, well, let's put you out of your misery. Get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Chris!
My Unpunchable Jam this week? It's the Ballad of Dorothy Parker by Prince.
Dorothy was a waitress on the promenade. She worked the night shift. Dishwater blonde, tall and fine. She got a lot of tips.
And what's wonderful about this song is it's about Prince gets in a fight with a girl that he's kind of seeing. And in his little rage, he runs over to a diner of some kind. He orders a fruit cocktail, like a fruit salad, from the waitress. She gives it to him while kind of saying something a little emasculating to him. He thinks it's cute, so she then takes him back to her house and they take a bath. But because he's dating somebody, he will only take the bath if he leaves his pants on. And that fixes everything with the relationship. He then goes back, and whenever he and his girlfriend go into the violent room, quote unquote, he just takes another bubble bath with my pants on, and all the fighting stopped. It is unhinged, and it's like definitely recorded on a flip phone while someone's playing Snake on it. It's very bad mixing, and you gotta hear it, Leo. You're gonna love it. Thank you so much.
Chris, I'm in so much pain. This was a mistake for me to have you do multiple episodes. I think my diaphragm is partially exploded.
You know, when you said for me, I locked eyes right with the middle of the Skype call and it says, am I? And it was like, because that's how your name comes up. And so I was like pronouncing me like that. It was really, really kismet.
Okay, are you ready for my Unpunchable Jam?
Yes.
I just posted about it on Instagram. It's Maybe You're the Reason by the Japanese House.
I keep looking for something, even though I know that it's not there. And every time I try to figure it out, you're the only thing I can think about.
What's your handle? I'll follow you.
Oh, thanks for asking. Meow Monster. I've really reached the end of my sanity. I can no longer pretend to be normal at this hour of podcasting. Christopher,
Yes, Marielle.
I can't stop calling me that. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this. It was very fun, and I'm in a lot of pain, so thank you for that.
Well, no, and thank you, and I agree with so much that you say and do in the community. There's one thing that I do disagree with your corona stance, and how you keep saying you're not afraid of giving it, you're only afraid of getting it. So maybe we can talk about that after, but thank you so much for having me, and we'll all see you guys next solstice.
Next week!
Okay, that was
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey!
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.